Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
We're a month away from the Tokyo Summer Olympic Games, which, of course, have been delayed because of COVID-19. We got the word that there can be 50% capacity, up to a maximum 10,000 fans at events in the upcoming Tokyo Games. There'll all be domestic fans in the stands for those events. Meanwhile, planning is well underway for the 2028 Los Angeles Summer Games. Joining us is Ed Hula, editor-in-chief, founder, I should say, of Around the Rings, devoted to covering the Olympics. Ed, so good to have you back with us.
Hey, good morning, Larry. It's nice to be with you again.
So let's talk about what's happening in Japan, because it sounds like there's a lot of public opposition that's grown around this.
Well, it's been very difficult for the people of Japan and Tokyo in particular to accept the fact that the Olympics are going to come amidst all their labors against the COVID virus. The opposition has backed down somewhat, I think, in the past few weeks, but I think you can count on more than half the people in Tokyo not wanting the games or wanting them postponed further, which is just not going to happen at this point. All signs point to the games taking place a month from now. I think it would take some natural disaster or some extraordinary increase in the number of infections to stop.
And are plans proceeding for all of the anticipated athletes to be there for those games?
Well, as best as they can. They're starting to arrive now. Australian softball team is there. Two Ugandan athletes apparently have tested positive upon their arrival in Japan just in the past couple of days. So, you know, that's kind of the head scratcher there. How many more of these athletes, when they arrive, are going to test positive? And will the quarantining and other aspects of the protocol that they have to go through, will that prevent the event from becoming a super spreader? There's just so many angles to the way this the games could be a real trouble spot for coronavirus in Japan.
What about vaccination? Are the games organizers making vaccinations available to participants, or are the various national Olympic committees handling that?
It's a grab bag. You know, they will be providing vaccinations to athletes as needed, but getting a vaccination so close to the games, so soon is just not, I think, probably effective medicine. Teams are inoculating their athletes in the home countries where the vaccines are available. The IOC has worked to get some vaccines donated to some of the national Olympic committees that may not have them in their country ready to go. But then there's concerns about the approval of athletes of vaccines in particular countries. As I say, it's just a grab bag, a patchwork approach to the vaccine situation for the athletes and officials going to the games.
We're talking with Ed Hula. He's the founder of Around the Rings, Olympic-focused publication. Also with us, David Wharton, Los Angeles Times feature sports writer who covers the Olympics. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Larry.
Any thoughts, first of all, about Tokyo before we get into planning for the LA Games?
Well, I think Ed had it right. This is going to be a tricky situation, and it's not going to be like any games we've seen before. It might look fairly familiar on the television, but everything around it will be much more complicated. The Japanese are taking great strides, great efforts to try to keep this thing under control and see if they can stop any kind of super spreader event.
What's the thought about the public interest in watching the games on television? We saw some ups and downs in ratings during the course of the pandemic. What's the thought about how later this summer audiences might or might not tune in?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. You know, when you talk to people at NBC, they say they're thankful that they got a year of practicing broadcasting events with fewer fans there and for a long time with no fans at all. By the same token, we've seen that interest is not as high when people can't attend sporting events. We saw a lot of numbers go down when the stadiums, you know, were closed to spectators. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where that falls in as we start to bring fans back into the stadiums here, at least here in the U.S., and how that might affect TV numbers.
Before you came on with us, David, we were talking about the airport metro connector project at LAX, which just broke ground, and talking about the People Mover, which is under construction there. Those are just a couple of the many major transportation projects that are planned for the greater Los Angeles area to accommodate Olympics crowds in 2028. What's your sense of how the infrastructure part of this is progressing?
Well, I think to some extent, you know, the organizers from the very beginning have said, hey, listen, LA is not like other cities. We have all the stadiums and arenas already here. We don't have to build all these things just for the Olympics. And, you know, we sort of have city and state officials taking care of transportation and other infrastructure issues for us. So they're almost kind of taking a hands-off approach to it. I mean, they are dealing, you know, with local government, but they kind of are saying, listen, this is all being taken care of, so we don't have to worry about it. We're ready to host the Olympics.
We've seen public sentiment turn significantly against the games in Tokyo, much of that undoubtedly because of concerns about COVID-19. But here in Los Angeles, you know, one of the groups that I get emailed from consistently is No Olympics LA and No Olympics Anywhere organizations. What's your sense of the size of the organizations that are opposed to the Olympic Games?
Well, I think No Olympics LA has raised some really important points and will continue to do so. I don't know what kind of traction they've gotten so far, but that may change as the games grow closer. And we see this in all Olympic cities. When people start to see the games come up close and start to think about all that money that's being spent, they get a little more worried. And so some of these really important issues that this group is raising, you know, they might have a few more listeners as we get closer to 2028.
So in a number of the concerns, at least I've seen them express, is the view that lower income Angelenos are going to be hit disproportionately hard, and that there's potential financial exposure for Los Angeles here that could have a negative effect on communities in need. How is the city generally responding to that critique?
Well, it's a really important point because, you know, right now we're looking at a nearly $7 billion estimate for holding the games, and that's certainly going to rise as the years go by. The organizers have insisted they can cover all of that price with sponsorships and ticket sales and other revenue sources. And they've been, you know, given that there's an unusual situation where they have so much lead up time, it's usually 7 years and they've got more than that. They've had more than that and it's still going. They've been signing deals slowly as we go through this last year and a half to try to get the sponsorship money they need so that taxpayers won't be on the hook, because the city and the state have said, you know, we'll be the financial backstop. If the cost of the games exceeds what the organizing committee can raise, you know, we'll cover that, and that means taxpayers will end up covering it.
David, another thing that the group raises is concerns about areas being cleared, public spaces being cleared. This would have a negative effect on people who live in encampments and the like, that the heightened police and other security presence is going to have an oppressive effect on the city. Has the council taken that up at all, along with the issues that have been raised following the murder of George Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now that's such a tangled situation because, you know, look at what's going on in Venice. So some of these, you know, this is a kind of a very important issue right now, you know, not to mention in 2028. And certainly we've seen in other Olympic cities where they try to pretty the city up, and sometimes they do that by oppressing people and grabbing people off the streets and gentrifying areas, and that all of that affects low-income residents. But right now we're so enmeshed in that sort of issue anyway that it's sometimes kind of hard to untangle, you know, that situation from what we're currently facing.
Yeah, something that's 7 years away. Ed Hula, founder of Around the Rings, anything to add about how this has played out in other host cities?
Well, it's I think going to be a very quiet run up to L.A., although there have been more and more people, I think, questioning the value of the Olympics, the cost of the Olympics. But I think without any major construction projects, without any, you know, physical signs that the Olympics are coming, I think it's going to, you know, keep a lid on much serious opposition to the Olympics in Los Angeles.
All right, I want to thank you both very much for talking about the Tokyo Summer Olympic Games coming up in a month and the Los Angeles Summer Olympics of 2028, obviously 7 years away from us. My thanks to David Wharton of the LA Times and Ed Hula of Around the Rings. Coming up, we'll talk about three significant U.S. Supreme Court decisions that were handed down this morning. Two of them are centered right here in California, and the other ones have big case from Pennsylvania involving students and their freedom of speech off campus. We'll be back in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.